Today on Real Life Radio.
I am Messiah, Savior of your life. I have come and I have assumed human form, human flesh. I have the same pressures and tensions that you have. When you step on a piece of glass or a thorn, Jesus is saying, I feel the same pain that you do.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in his series called The Gospel of Luke, continues with a message titled, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Part 1. Now, you know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, a physician, could do. Here now, as we continue in chapter 9, we'll consider what people think about who Jesus is. You see, by asking that question, what do you think about Jesus Christ? There's an opportunity for the Lord to answer the most important question that's ever asked in anyone's life. As Jesus begins his journey toward Jerusalem, and to his death for that matter, people will think of him as either the Lord God of heaven or a lunatic. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that Jesus is our personal salvation. He is the light of the world, the only way to heaven, and stands in our place before God. Now, in his message called, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
There are people who say things like this. Others have said that he's a spirit being because they see in Jesus another realm, a tremendous thing that they love and appreciate, but he's a spirit being. Isn't it interesting? Jesus said, handle me and see, for a ghost or a spirit doesn't have flesh and bone like I have. Some people say things like this. Jesus has come from the mothership. You can buy books at Borders, you guys, on this topic. Jesus has come from the mothership. He represents an alien world. People say that because they see in him a whole different dimension. And so they come to that conclusion. You got to be careful when you reject what the Bible has to say about Jesus, because once you do, you'll believe in the stupidest things. The world will spin and you'll grab it. Sad. Have you ever heard of the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi? That almost hurt me to say it. Maharishi Mahesh Yogi declares that Jesus is in the long line of the enlightened masters of Eastern mysticism. Everybody has their opinion about Jesus. And so he says, what are the people saying? What does Chino Hill say about Jesus? What does Diamond Bar say about Jesus? What does Yorba Linda say about Jesus? What does Chino say about Jesus? What does Pomona say about Jesus? What are the people saying? What does America say about Jesus? Wouldn't that's a great question to ask America. Put that out there. Look at what you get. Oh, it'd be amazing. Lord Maitreya, his announcement is, that he is Jesus, and a long line of Jesuses that come. He's just one more. Isn't that interesting? Everybody has got something to say about Jesus. Secondly, verse 19 teaches us that some people will say that he's one of the ways to God. You ever heard that? People say things like this. There are many ways to God. Now, technically, they're exactly true. Did you know that? If somebody says all roads lead to God, this is true. All roads lead to God. It says in the Bible, every man has to stand before God in the end. What you want to be specific when you ask the question. What road leads to heaven? And you get to stay there. See, all man must appear before God. All roads lead to God. The Romans taught that. All roads lead to God. True. But which one gets you into heaven? That's important. There are many ways to God, people will say. Verse 19, it says that some of the people, it's the response, they said to Jesus, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah. This is the word on the street, Jesus. And by the way, the answer that's given in the Greek is implying this, that when he asked them, who do the people say that I am? This is what's implied in the Greek language. They stood still, the disciples, and they hesitated. Some say John the Baptist. Some say Elijah. They're hesitating. They're thinking. I don't know what. We don't know what. But they hesitated. What do the people say? What are they saying? I want to hear. Now, Jesus being the Lord, he knew. He's drawing out of the hearts of the disciples a confession. That's going to be very important in our message. Because you could say this morning, those guys believe this about Jesus. That group believes the other. Let me see, where am I at in all of this? And the Lord would say, forget about those guys. What about you? Have you noticed, you guys, according to the Bible and in our lives, the Lord always comes back to us. What about you? That's why he's a personal savior. It's very, very vital. This is not a, so to speak, team effort that we enter the kingdom of God. We are in the family of God, loving on one another, knowing one another, because it's the name of Jesus and his blood that has set us free from our sins, and we're in the family of God. But listen, we don't march into the group. We're coming in. Oh, no, there'll be none of that. We're the Baptist. We're coming in. There'll be none of that. I hope this doesn't freak you out, but you guys, you Methodist guys, you're not going to have a little group over there. You're not going to have a little Methodist section. There's none of that fleshly, earthly division. There won't be a Calvary Chapel section. The body of Christ is not divided. Men, we divide the body. We do that. Well, they don't worship the way we want them to. So we're going to form our own group. Which way do you baptize? This way, that way, or sideways? Well, no, we don't. We're going to form our own thing. Listen, we believe in the universal church. We just disagree with the divisions that have led to the segmenting up of the body of Christ. It's just sad. Why focus on that stuff? Be quiet. Go tell the world about Jesus. If we just lay down those peripheral issues that do not matter, they shouldn't matter. Look, I don't care. You baptize somebody forward. You baptize, some churches baptize people forward. I can't even believe the question ever even came up in history. You do it backwards or forwards? I don't know. Do you read the Bible upside down or straight? I don't care. Read the Bible. How do you tell people about Jesus? On one foot, or do you use both feet when you stand to tell people about Jesus? I don't care if you stand on your head, tell them about Jesus. We get into these weird things. Who do the people say? Well, maybe he's a great prophet, verse 19 at the end. Some say that he's a great prophet and that he's risen. Luke chapter 12, verse 9 says, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. He's not a prophet. You can't take that verse in Luke 12, verse 9 and match that to a prophet. Who is Jesus Christ? You have to answer, my friend. Listen, Islam teaches that Jesus was a prophet, nothing more, nothing less. That he was a prophet, yet Muhammad is greater than Jesus in Islam. Somebody's right and somebody's wrong. Just remember this. The Bible had said what it had said before Islam ever came along in the 600s. That's very important. By the way, at home, those of you on Sunday nights, you're becoming experts on this. And we encourage you to be here this coming night, tonight at 6 o'clock. But last week, people were shocked in this church to find out that there's seventh grade child's social studies book here in our town is an indoctrination book entitled Across the Ages of Islam, and it teaches that Muhammad is the great prophet and that Jesus is one of many prophets in your children's textbook in this town. Over 200 pages dedicated to Islam in your public school book in your seventh grader's class. Somebody's wrong. By the way, Islam teaches, and you look at this, he's just a prophet. Islam teaches Jesus is just a prophet, and Islam is very, very passionate to say, and he is not the Son of God. In fact, next week we'll show you around the Dome of the Rock Mosque, written in Arabic, is Jesus. It doesn't say it this way. It says basically, I'll come as close to as I can. Next week I'll give it to you exactly. God is not begotten, and neither does God have a son. You know the Dome of the Rock I'm talking about? We'll show it to you next week. You know the shiny dome? Around it on that blue tile says God doesn't have a son. Hey, if Islam says it, I'm going to believe the opposite. Think about that. Why is that important to put it up in a building? God doesn't have a son. God doesn't have a son. God doesn't have a son. Because God has a son. He's your savior. Amen. Oh, he's just a prophet. Can't do that. Lord or lunatic? No prophet is the Lord. Jesus Christ is Savior, Lord, King, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last, the one who was, who is to come, the Almighty, our great, says Titus 2:13, our great God and Savior, Jesus Messiah. Lord or lunatic, that's for you to decide. He knew exactly who he was, and the Bible tells you exactly who he is. What will you do with that? What are you going to do with it? It's your choice. 1 John chapter 2, verse 22 says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Messiah? He is Antichrist who denies that the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father. That's what the Bible says, case closed, because I believe the Bible. Vitally important. Philippians 2:11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, not lunatic, to the glory of God the Father. If these verses are not real, then I don't want to live anymore.
Break it down, Pastor.
Come on. What are we here for? If the Bible's not true, what are we here for? Make some money, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow we die? Who needs it? Your life has got a purpose. It's in Christ. And the Bible says this, Acts 2:36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they had heard these things, they were cut to their hearts, and they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of the Lord. Wow. Jesus said in John 8:24, you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am. Wow. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God. How do you test the spirits? How do you test what people say? Okay, I'm going to ask you again. The answer is the Bible. The Bible. Okay. How do you test what people say?
Bible.
Even that was weak, and I even coached you. I gave you the answer. Everything that people say about spiritual matters, you judge it against the Bible. Isn't that what Paul said in Acts chapter 17:11? Paul's preaching, and he said, hey, don't believe a word I'm saying. Pick up your Old Testament and test it. Wow. Do you love that? Test the spirits, John says, 1 John chapter 4, whether they are of God or not, because many false prophets have gone out into the world and knock on your doors. I'm adding that part. By this you will know them, know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Messiah, Jesus Christ, has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and already now is in the world. The movement of the anti-Jesus or anti-Christ spirit. Point number two, and this is where we end this morning. What do you think about Jesus, my friend? It's all vitally important. What do you think about Jesus? Verses 20 to 22, question, what's your answer? What do you think about Jesus? What is your answer? Verse 20, and he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Jot this down, would you? What's your answer? Who is the biblical Jesus in your life? And I had to stress that Biblical Jesus, that's important. Who is the biblical Jesus in your life? Why do I write biblical? Because Paul the Apostle warned that in the last days there'll be many other gospels and many other Jesuses introduced to people. Which Jesus? I've told you before, I'll say it again. When someone says, I believe in God, ask them the question. What's the question? Anybody remember the question? God who? Oh, I believe in God. God who? Which one? Ask them. I believe in Jesus. Which Jesus? You guys, I challenge you. Try this. It's a great experiment. Take it out of this place and take it to the laboratory. That's the world outside these doors. Ask people. When they say things, oh, I believe in God. I'm curious. You said that you believe in God? I sure do. God who? Listen to their answer. Oh, I believe in Jesus too. Which Jesus do you believe in? Because man, you know, in a month's time, there'll be at least two groups knocking at my door talking about a completely different Jesus. Which one? The biblical Jesus is the one we're interested in. Big difference. And so, who is the biblical Jesus in your life? Notice this. It's very simple. Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? That's called personal application. Wow. So church, can I ask you, I mean, you don't have to say anything right now, but what if this building on such a beautiful day, the ceiling was opened up. I wish we could do that. Like the stadium opens up, lets in the heavens, and you hear a voice. Who do you say I am? And you say, man, I'm getting out of here. You can't. Imagine there's, because if we're going to imagine, let's imagine big time. There's major buff, huge angels at each door. You're not leaving. And the voice comes down. Who do you say I am? You know how like kids, someone asks the kid something and the kid turns to their parent? Like for the answer. You can't do that. You can't look at one another. You can't look at your husband. You can't look at your wife. You can't look at the stranger next to you. You can't look at me. I can't look at you. The voice comes, who do you say that I am? It's not a group response. You have to answer alone. Listen, the same way you go to heaven, alone. You mean I can't hold the hand of my husband going in? Nope. What if we die at the same time? Nope. You walk in with Jesus or you don't walk in at all. Man, that is so narrow-minded. It sure is. It sure is. He only died once. He's not going to die again. He only rose once. He's not going to rise again. He doesn't have to. No wonder why he said it's a narrow way and few people find it. Amen. Is the biblical Jesus your personal Savior? Verses 20 to 21, Peter answered and said to him, the Christ of God. Matthew tells us that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter answers, in fact, mark it down in your reference or your margins. It's Matthew 16, verses 13 to 18. Listen to this, that's great. And when it came, and when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And so he said to them, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, or others say Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to them, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Wow. And I also say to you, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Church, put that picture in your mind. Remember what you saw at the beginning? We're almost done. Remember what you saw in the beginning of those temples? When Jesus said in Matthew, the gates of hell will not prevail against my church. The Jews would never go to that region of Israel because of its pagan presence. They wouldn't go that way. It was a defiled, nasty region. They wouldn't go. What does Jesus do? Marches them right into the place. And he says, remember, who do they say that I am? Opinions. But who do you say I am? the answer for you personally. Then he turns and says, upon that confession that Peter made, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says to Peter, my Father told you that. That's not from your own head. My Father gave you that. That's awesome. And upon that rock, I will build my church. What rock? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Why did he say the gates of hell will not prevail? Because the Jews wouldn't go to that region, because the Jews during Jesus' day called that hole, that rock with that temple, the gates of hell. This was a field trip engineered by Christ himself. He took them right to the gates of hell and walked up there, and they're all shouting all these names, all these people yelling, Diana and Zeus, and Jesus said, who do you say I am? And Peter says it, and Jesus says, the gates of hell are not going to prevail against that truth, Peter. And they all knew, oh, the gates of hell, that's this place representing all the gods of the world. All the gods of the world will not prevail against his church, his bride. Quickly, it's this. It's a wonderful declaration. It's a declaration. You are the Christ. The word in English is declaration. It's an emphatic public statement announcing a fact. Look at verse 21 and 22. And Jesus said, the Son of Man, number one, must suffer many things. Number two, be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes. And number three, be killed. And number four, be raised from the dead. When Jesus said that he was the Son of Man, which is what Luke announces to him or and of him, that title that is Jesus's in the Gospel of Luke is basically this. I am Messiah, Savior of your life. I have come and I have assumed human form, human flesh. I have the same pressures and tensions that you have. When you step on a piece of glass or a thorn, Jesus is saying, I feel the same pain that you do. Can you imagine God putting on a human suit and feeling, what is that? That's cold water. Well, I don't like it. Isn't that amazing? God had never known what it was like to be slapped in the face before. But Jesus was slapped in the face and found out how that felt. Why? Why is he the Son of Man? So that you could relate to him and you could understand that he relates to you.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called, What Do You Think About Jesus Christ? Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. We're glad you took the time. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, we've got Charlie Kirk coming to town for a happening now. Is that right?
Well, that is exactly right, Davey. And Charlie Kirk, listen, there's a relationship that he and I have, and God has blessed it. And so, Charlie, we're going to be discussing from Genesis 11, the birth and the rise of the Babylonian spirit, false worship, and global governance. All this leads into the coming of the Antichrist. So we're going to be looking at Bible prophecy. We're going to be looking at biblical history. It's going to be a tremendous time. So listen, everybody out there, mark your calendar, February 22nd, 7 o'clock Pacific time, live. You're going to want to share and invite people to join you online. And if you live in Southern California, by all means, come personally. Come and join us. And listen, I want to invite all of you to share this event that's going to be taking place. Share it. Get people to know that it's going to happen, because censorship is something that's been really hitting us hard, friends. We've been hit by the various media giants, and let's send them a message. Let's have such a massive viewing audience that they realize that this is something that they shouldn't be tampering with. February 22nd, 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific, Charlie Kirk and I discussing the Antichrist, the coming world government, Genesis chapter 11. It's going to be incredibly powerful.
That's February 22nd at 7 p.m. Pacific. Don't miss Pastor Jack and Charlie Kirk for a very special Happening Now event. And that's at jackhibbs.com, jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.